Everybody knows it. Toyota trucks are the stuff of legends. Rugged, durable, everlasting, Toyota makes trucks that just don't quit. And now, Toyota is driving that legacy toward the future with two of their most powerful trucks ever, the new Tundra and the all-new Tacoma.
In a half-ton Tundra, you can rule the roads from the comfort of a spacious cabin with connected tech and plenty of hauling power. The Tundra is ready to work hard and play even harder.
Or check out the all-new 24 Tacoma, redesigned and electrified to maximize your adventure. With a bevy of available off-road driving and power transfer modes, you will effortlessly crush the conditions. And with the Tacoma's reimagined interior, you'll do it in style.
And right now, your local Toyota dealer has more vehicles in stock and is making delivery on new vehicles almost every day.
So don't wait. Buy a Tundra or Tacoma today. Visit buyatoyota.com for deals and more.
Toyota, let's go places.
Welcome to the Fantasy Baseball Today podcast from CBS Sports.
High drive, center field, hit the wall, grand slam. This is magnificent.
Got a fantasy question? Email fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. Get ready to win your league.
Where fantasy becomes reality.
Now, here's Frank, Scott, Chris, and Adam.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Fantasy Baseball Today on June 21st. I'm Chris Towers here with Scott White. Happy Father's Day belatedly to all who celebrate, including the only dad on the podcast, Scott White. Well, the only father. I feel like I might have some dad tendencies. You know, I love a good dad joke, but Scott is the only father on the show. How was your Father's Day, Scott?
It was fine. It was fine. You know, mostly worked, but it was kind of a whole weekend celebration. A bit too much, if you ask me. But you know, that's
my
wife.
Are you one of those people who don't like being celebrated? Like, do you not like your birthday? I could feel like you could be one of those people who doesn't like your birthday.
I'm not like Dave Richard,
who he gets hates angry if you know it's his birthday.
I would miss it if it wasn't there, but in the moment it's uncomfortable, I would say, to be celebrated. But it's nice to be appreciated in theory, even if I don't enjoy it so much in practice.
I share that. I am obviously not Frank Stample. He is taking the day off. He's feeling a little under the weather. I am refreshed and recharged after a nice week-long vacation that was honestly more exhausting than if I had worked a 60-hour week, because I've had my 3 and 6-year-old niece here the whole week, and boy, that makes me appreciate the people who deal with that all the time even more, because that is a lot of work.
You got a dose of fatherhood.
I'm looking forward to getting back to just working my job. And speaking of that job, on today's show, we're going to get Scott's thoughts on Wander Franco's call-up. That's the big news at the top of the show. If you listen to the emergency pod that Frank and I did a little earlier on Sunday, you can hear my thoughts on what to expect from Wander Franco, how to approach his assumed pending call-up, as has been reported by the Tampa Bay Times at first and confirmed by other sources. He's expected to be with the Rays on Tuesday in time for the start of the series against the Boston Red Sox. Tampa Bay does play 6 games this week. We'll also talk about some of the concerning pitcher performances from this weekend. What's wrong with Aaron Nola? Reason to be worried about Corbin Burnes, perhaps? I know we've talked about that a little bit from his previous start. The most added and dropped players from the weekend, and everything else from this weekend's games that you need to know about. Biggest performances, latest news, all that. But first, Wander Franco is being called up. The top prospect in baseball, the top minor leaguer to stash. Would you say wire to wire, or was there ever a point where Jared Kelenic was a top?
Okay. There was a point. In fact, I think in the most recent prospects report, top 5 prospects to stash, I technically had Kelenic number 1 there ahead of Franco. But of course, in most publications, Franco was at the top of the prospect list, every top 100 list. There may have been one or two exceptions, but pretty much universally. Almost universally.
Yeah, pretty close to a consensus number 1. I think the consensus is he's probably the best prospect since Vladimir Guerrero made his debut. Expectation is he is a Vladimir Guerrero Juan Soto-esque prospect. And the hope is that he can make an impact like those guys for fantasy, specifically, you know, more of a Juan Soto rookie season impact. Is that what you're expecting from him, Scott?
I don't think you can expect that anymore from rookies, because who was the last one to do that? That was, you know, that was regarded at that stature. Yeah. I mean, because we Tatis. Had to keep Brian Hayes last year and Ian Anderson, but they were both kind of surprising that they were that good.
Yeah, I would say it's Tatis at the start of the 2019 season.
Yeah, you're probably right. Yeah. So, you know, obviously, if Wander Franco is available, given his pedigree, his upside,
obviously, he's 78% rostered right now
on CBS, but somebody showed me that in certain other major fantasy service providers, who will go nameless, he's only about half that rostered, which is amazing. But yeah, you know, I wouldn't start him right away unless I was really slumming it at shortstop all this time and desperate to get actual talent in there. Then it might make sense. But you know, I think you have to have. I think you kind of just have to wait and see how it plays out before you really calibrate what he's worth to you this season. The way he always stood out in the minor leagues was bat control, how much contact he made, and of course, high quality contact. The power numbers weren't enormous for the most part, but he's 20 years old.
Really, so, really. He's the youngest player at AAA this season, I think, for any pitcher or hitter. So,
yeah,
just a sign of how young he is.
Yeah, very young. And he had been hot in June, especially. Yes. 394 in 16 games for the month, with 3 home runs, 4 triples, 5 doubles, I think a couple steals too. So been filling up the box score. You know, you could have, I'm sure it would have been easy to justify calling him up out of spring training, and they kept him pretty late with the major league club. But he's certainly on the kind of run that normally would earn a prospect a promotion like this. So, you know, I wonder how they're going to calibrate their infield with Franco here. I'm guessing he's going to play mostly third base, which is, he split his time basically at AAA, third base and shortstop.
And a little second as well.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. I would guess Joey Wendell plays mostly second base. I would guess Brandon Lau plays mostly the outfield, and they kick Brett Phillips has been getting a lot of playing time. Yeah, there's no reason for that to continue. But, you know, hopefully Franco is everything everything he's been hyped to be right away. Hopefully that happens right away and you got a stud rest of season. That is certainly a possibility.
Yeah, he has the 8th highest weighted runs created among all hitters in AAA right now. Like we mentioned before, he's 20 years old. Youngest player in AAA. Has the highest strikeout rate of his career this season, 11.5%. So like you mentioned, the plate discipline is exceptional. That is, you know, arguably the biggest calling card for him. But the expectation is he should develop into at least average, probably above average power, thanks to the plate discipline and bat control as well. What percentage of your remaining fab would you drop on Wander Franco if he's available? And where are you planning on ranking him at shortstop?
Oh, yeah, I meant to do that so I could have an answer for you. he would probably move into the top 15 right away, which is, you know, I'm being pretty conservative since the prospect columns have burned us so much recently. But, you know, obviously this is as exciting as it's going to get this year. The one exception maybe being when Kelnick was called up and that didn't work out. But yeah, quick glance at my shortstop rankings. Yeah, 15, 16 sounds about right to start out, with a lot of room to move up from there.
Higher or lower than Dansby Swanson?
Higher.
Okay.
Higher, yeah.
Would you drop Swanson?
I guess
in a shallower points
league? Yeah, I guess if it came to that, I would. I mean, in a Jorge shallower Polanco? League. I'm sorry?
Jorge Polanco, Gio Urshela.
Yeah.
Brandon Crawford.
I mean, the kind of shallow league where Franco's still available, these aren't impact bats in that kind of league. So I don't think you'll miss them that much. So yeah, I would take the shot on upside in that scenario. And if you're talking about fab, I mean, gosh, I think I'd use at least half of what I have left.
Yeah.
I mean, the season's almost half over. I might go as high as 75% if it was a league where $0 bids counted and you don't have to reserve as much.
All right, let's transition over to the weekend. And I know we've got Frank on the boards. He's not on the show. He's feeling a little under the weather. But Frank, you got the drop for us? Scott, can you do it, please?
Oh, my goodness gracious.
Of all the dramatic things I've seen in my life.
No, Scott, he doesn't play that part.
Who's your oh, my goodness gracious player from the weekend?
I'm going to go with Adam
Duvall.
Yeah. I'm going to go with Adam Duvall, who had back-to-back two-homer games. He's up to 16 home runs on the season. That's as many home runs as he had all of last season. in about the same length of time. So, you know, I was among those who said, okay, Adam Duvall, pretty good power hitter, but those 16 home runs he hit in 57 games, come on.
And it was like 8 in a 5-game stretch or something, right? Didn't he have some like crazy run last year?
Yeah, something like that. I mean, he had 2-3 homer games.
Yeah.
To get to 16. He had a 4-homer weekend this weekend. It's only in 62 games, so 5 more games than the 16 last year. And entering Sunday, he actually led the NL in RBI, 52 RBI. That's way more than the 33 he had last year. It's not giving you anything in batting average. He never has. But, how rostered is he? He's not very rostered.
You know what's amazing? Here's an incredible fact. The top two in RBI in the National League right now are both on the Marlins.
That is incredible.
How about that? Adam Duvall and Jesus Aguilar. That must be every single run that the Marlins have scored this season has been driven in by those two players.
He's only 42% rostered. I don't think he's going to be starting caliber in points leagues all that often. It's still an all or nothing profile. It's still, when he's not hitting those home runs, he's not doing much for you. But he's looking like kind of the best of the all or nothing players right now for 4 seconds straight year, because he was up there last year too. So I think he's certainly 5 outfielder material, and you know, probably just keep him plugged in a 5 outfielder league like that.
Yeah, and I will point out it's been a lot more all than nothing over the last 3 seasons. Since the start of 2019, he's played 159 games, 42 homers, 104 RBI, 80 runs scored. Now, he's only hitting .237 in that span. Batting average is never going to be a strong suit. And to be fair, he was having a pretty bad season until 3 days ago. He had a .666 OPS heading into play on Friday, but
that's how it goes with those all or nothing players.
Yeah.
and now he leads the NL and RBI.
And I'll transition to another all or nothing player who I assume if I hadn't taken him first, you probably would have taken.
You know, to be honest, since Frank isn't hosting the show, I didn't think we were going to do Oh My Goodness Gracious. So I just totally pulled Duvall. There's probably a bet somebody who made me say Oh My Goodness Gracious even louder than that.
Well, yeah.
And maybe you're going to pick him. Come on.
Kyle Schwarber, who one-upped Adam Duvall with 5 home runs over the last 2 games. 2 home run game on Saturday, followed it up with 3 home runs on Sunday. He's got 3 multi-home run games in his last 8, hitting .400 in that span with 8 home runs, and somehow still underperforming his expected WOBA before the season by about 20 points. He's got that OPS right up to about .850. And that's about where you're hoping for from Kyle Schwarber. How do you feel about Kyle Schwarber now?
I feel good. I like him better than Duvall. His numbers are even better. Other than the RBI, his numbers are even better than Duvall. He's kind of all or nothing, but he walks some too. So that redeems him to a degree in points leagues. And
I'll admit I didn't realize Kyle Schwarber was so good in May. He had an awful April, .619 OPS, but an .857 OPS in May, .861 OPS coming into his 3 homer game. So I'm going to guess that's around 1,000 now so far in June. But
right.
Kyle Schwarber has been
a
very solid version of himself. basically since the first month.
Since April, and I'm kind of at a point where maybe I shouldn't apply this as like a blanket policy, but it feels like certain players you just got to throw out there April because it was a historic anomaly that month. And you know, if you do that for Kyle Schwarber, this is basically the best Kyle Schwarber we've ever seen. It's basically the same one we were getting in 2019.
Yeah. Yeah, he was very good in 2019, especially in the second half of that season. So before we move on to news and notes from the weekend, injuries, all the rest of the performances, just want to let you know about what's on CBS Sports HQ this week. As always, CBS Sports HQ is the network to start your sports news day at 8 a.m. Eastern with morning buzz, an hour of highlights, news, and all the day's need-to-know news. Come back or leave us on all day at 6 p.m. when we break down all the night's action and release dozens of picks from the best analysts and cappers in the sports world. How do you watch HQ? It's easy. Go to your Roku, Apple TV, Fire TV, or any connected TV device and look for that CBS Sports app. Fire it up. Check out IHQ, the only 24/7 free sports streaming network. And a reminder, Fantasy Baseball Today, we're going to be here live on YouTube Monday, June 21st, 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern to do a Q&A to get you set up for the week and, you know, hang out, answer your questions, make some trades. Maybe you'll see an appearance by my cat. We'll talk about baseball, life, the universe, everything. So hop on by, join the YouTube chat, 7 p.m. Eastern time on our YouTube page, youtube.com/fantasybaseballtoday. Subscribe and you'll get notifications for when we go live, including for this show on, you know, early mornings on the East Coast most days, although in the evening tonight. News and notes from the weekend. After playing catch on Sunday, Jacob deGrom confirmed he will start Monday for the Mets, which sets him up for a two-start week. The way this has gone the last, three starts, it's been he's amazing for a couple of innings, and then we all freak out when he leaves, and then he ends up being fine and makes his next start. And I don't know. Yep. I don't know, man. Four injuries this season, I believe, for Jacob deGrom. Four different injuries.
The only injury is in his mind, Chris.
Maybe. I think it's actually in his back. Maybe his shoulder.
Yeah. Well,
look, I think it's going to be nerve-wracking from now on. The Jacob deGrom experience is going to be incredibly, incredibly scary. But hopefully it keeps being good news. It seems like it's just a bunch of minor things. And when you're throwing 102 miles an hour, maybe every minor thing in the middle of a start seems major. But, I mean, there's nothing actionable. You start Jacob deGrom, right?
Right.
Rays manager Kevin Cash said Friday Tyler Glasnow will be shut down for 4 weeks while he receives treatments. That, you know, the team seems encouraged by that news. I don't know how encouraged I am by that news, because that means you're probably looking at least late August return at the best case scenario, because this probably means no throwing for 4 weeks and then ramping back up. So it's probably,
yeah, I mean, they put him on the 60-day IL, so late August is the earliest it could possibly be. You know, you just hope he doesn't end up needing Tommy John surgery and then missing all of 2022. Frank and I talked about Masahiro Tanaka, Irvin Santana, guys who've been able to do this.
A lot more examples of the opposite, though.
Well, but a more recent one might be Denelson Lamet, who had his longest and best start of the season Sunday, went five innings, struck out seven. Velocity was up a mile per hour, got to 81 pitches. So the Padres have been very slowly bringing Lamet along. I don't know. I don't know if that's a model anybody wants to see the Rays follow for Glasnow, but it's worth pointing out.
This reminds me of, you know, the Angels with Shohei Ohtani, his rookie season. It was around the same time of the year, I think, when he started having his elbow issues. And it was, from what I understand, the thought process was if Tyler Glasnow, or, you know, if a pitcher in the middle of June has Tommy John surgery, the next season's probably a wash anyway. You know, there's just the chances of coming back and making any kind of meaningful impact are so slim that you might as well just push it and see if they can come back without having surgery. because either way, you're probably losing all of 2022 either way if he has to have it. So I would guess that there's some of that going on where they think that the risk of trying to have him rehab instead of undergoing some kind of surgical procedure outweighs the risks. So, you know, that's awesome. Maybe the pessimistic take, but if you had no IL spots free, are you hanging on to Glass now?
I would try to hang on to him. You know, it becomes a question of exactly who's on your IL already, because there may be somebody on there that you could not miss that much and stash Glass now instead.
All right, we got some rare good injury news from the Twins side. Byron Buxton returned Saturday. Max Kepler returned Friday. Williams Astudillo was optioned to AAA. Is Miguel Sano expected to be the odd man out moving forward? I know Nelson Cruz left today's game. I didn't see anything on that. Did you?
I have not. I imagine they're going to probably rotate players between a few different positions. Kirloff and Larnach. Larnach's strikeouts have gone way up, by the way. He's at about a 30% rate now. I know he was having a lot of success early on making contact, but I've grown less interested in him upon seeing that.
He did go 3-for-5 today.
He did.
But yeah, 40 strikeouts and 116 at-bats so far. So, yeah. Blue Jays manager Charlie Montoyo said that upon returning, George Springer will bat 5th or 6th in the lineup. He doesn't want to mess with the top of the order the way they're playing. And George Springer, I believe, is expected back early this week, possibly Monday. He's on his AAA rehab assignment right now. He started on Friday. Does this lower George Springer in your rankings at all? You know, he was someone who we were looking at as like a top 15 outfielder coming into the season. Obviously, injuries have changed that quite a bit.
Yeah, not really. I mean, if he hits, I'm sure he'll start to move back up. And I mean, ultimately, I care about how good the player is more than anything else.
Makes sense. Chris Sale scheduled to throw bullpen sessions Tuesday and Friday. He is 76% rostered. Adbert Alzolay will return from the IL Monday. He has a 4.06 ERA and a 1.04 whip, 71% rostered. Is he someone worth adding in more leagues?
Yeah, I would say so. He's probably 2nd in my sleeper pitchers list for this upcoming week. I think I put him 2nd upon learning he was returning, and he has 2 starts right away. Might be limited in that first start, but still, good numbers overall. ERA is a little high, but the strikeouts are good. The whip is low. I think he probably needs to be rostered in more than 70% of leagues.
All right. Carson Kelly was placed on the IL with a fractured right wrist. Very frustrating given what a good start he had gotten off to, that injuries have kind of derailed things. He'll likely be out at least through the All-Star break. Who's your top catcher target on waivers among this group? Max Stassi, William Contreras, Eric Haas, and Yan Gomes, all under 50% roster. Or if there's anybody else that you'd rather target.
It would probably be Stassi at this point. William Contreras is close. Those would be my favorite too. And if you have to go deeper than that, they did call Dalton Varsho up.
Okay. There you go.
To take Carson Kelly's roster spot. He started Sunday's game at catcher and then moved to center field later in the game. And he was crushing it at AAA. I know previous stints in the majors haven't gone well, but still.
Yeah, if you don't remember Dalton Varsho, he was someone who had a lot of hype in the spring, potential, you know, be a 20 stolen base kind of guy at catcher, expected to play more in the outfield.
So he had 9 home runs in 18 games at AAA Reno, batting .313.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Mike Moustakas was moved to the 60-day IL because of his heel injury. The earliest he can return is mid-July. Is he droppable at this point?
I would say that in standard size 12-team leagues, if you're not talking about the expanded roto rosters, yeah, it's pretty droppable.
Austin Gomber placed on the IL with left forearm tightness just as he was really starting to figure it out. His last 7 or 8 starts had been magnificent, so that's really frustrating. We don't have much details on that.
Well, we do have more now. They had an MRI on the elbow. It came back clean. It sounds like he's not going to miss much time. But
okay, that's good.
We don't have specifics as to how much time he'll miss.
Yeah. John Means has yet to throw off a mound. He's on the IL dealing with that left shoulder strain. another one that was very frustrating given how good he was pitching. Corey Seager could begin his rehab assignment Friday or Saturday as he recovers from that fractured hand, like I mentioned earlier. Jeff McNeil is expected to return Monday from his hamstring injury. Brandon Nimmo started his rehab assignment on Sunday with his finger injury, so they could be starting to get back to full health relatively soon. And, you know, it's kind of funny. Francisco Lindor has been crushing the ball for the last, like, 3 weeks, and everybody else on the roster stopped hitting. So they could really use those guys back.
Yes. I'm so sad for the first place Mets.
Patrick Tragic. Wisdom has sat 4 of the last 6 games for the Cubs. Is he droppable? 55% rostered.
Yeah, let's say so. Sitting that much.
Despite being limited with a shoulder injury, Brady Singer will start Tuesday against the Yankees. Wilson Ramos was released by the Tigers. Wouldn't be surprised if somebody snatched him up, but after a couple of good weeks to start the season, he's been pretty awful. Aaron Sanchez moved to the 60-day IL, which means he can't return until early July, and starter sit for the upcoming week. Fernando Tatis, he exited Saturday's game after appearing to injure his left shoulder while diving for a ball. It's the same shoulder he messed up earlier in the season. He did not play Sunday. Are you starting Tatis?
Yes, I'm starting him because everything sounds positive coming from the Padres. They say it's not as bad as what happened earlier in the season. It was more precautionary than anything else. So, yeah, definitely start Tatis.
Yeah, this is the third or fourth scare like this for Tatis, I think, because I think he had one in spring training.
Yeah.
Before, like, the serious one.
He's like the Jacob deGrom of hitters.
Or the Ronald Acuna of shortstops. Except Acuna is a different injury every time.
True.
Jose Ramirez dealing with a left foot injury he suffered on Friday when he got fouled a pitch off his foot, or actually might have been a hit by pitch. He was able to pinch hit Sunday. Are you starting him this week?
Yes.
All right. Max Scherzer threw a 40-pitch bullpen session Saturday and plans to start Tuesday against the Phillies. Should you get him in your lineup?
Yes, you should. He lines up for 2 starts if he does indeed return Tuesday.
All right. Cody Bellinger and Max Muncy both expected to be activated from the IL Tuesday or Wednesday. Are you starting those two?
More likely Muncy. There's more eligibility there. You might need him more, and he's actually performed when healthy. It's not a flat no to Bellinger, but I'd be more on the fence about him.
Adalberto Mondesi left Sunday's game with a side injury. Would you be comfortable starting him?
I would not, because he's just coming back from an oblique injury. And man, I
don't know if you're ever comfortable starting him.
That sucks, because he's crushed it when he's been in the lineup.
What, like the 5 games, I think it's been?
He's got like 5 home runs in those 5 games, or 4.
Nelson Cruz was removed Sunday. This was a neck tightness thing. I hadn't seen that update. Would you start him?
Yeah, I hadn't seen the latest on that either. It seems, you know, he's, what, 40 years old? Seems like he's always a little banged up. So unless this sounds more significant, I'd probably lean towards starting Cruz.
Yeah, I'm only 33 and I'm always injured. So, you know, I can kind of sympathize with that. We're going to take a quick break on the audio side. If you're watching on YouTube, stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Shopify's already taken the cash register online, helping millions sell billions around the world. But did you know that Shopify can do the same thing at your retail store? Give your point of sale system a serious upgrade with Shopify. That's right. Shopify is the sound of selling everywhere. Online, in-store, on social media, and beyond. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. With Shopify POS, you can accept credit cards, mobile payments, and every other major payment method, all with low fees and transparent pricing, starting on day one. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/MLB podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/MLB podcast to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/MLB podcast.
Greetings, Fantasy Warriors. I'm Heath Cummings, your guide to fantasy dominance on FFT Dynasty. Join me this offseason where mock drafts become epic showdowns and every pick shapes your legacy.
If I was Adam, with the team that he's built, Will Levis makes so much more sense.
And that's not all. We're peeling back the curtain on the future with our exclusive 2024 NFL Draft Prospect Profiles. Uncover hidden gems that'll elevate your roster to legendary status.
Puka Nacua. After Cooper Kupp, we really have no idea who's going to get the targets.
Keaton Mitchell of East Carolina. Explosive speed is ridiculous.
This isn't just a podcast. It's a playbook for champions. Subscribe to FFT Dynasty now, and together, we'll conquer the fantasy football frontier. Your dynasty journey starts here.
And we're back. And we're welcome back. We're going. I wish I had the drop that Adam used to do, the welcome back. Because we had some big names come back, or I guess one big name and one guy who has been really good this season.
Well, we had Adalberto Mondesi come back. Well,
yeah, and then welcome back to not being back.
Yeah.
Shortly thereafter. Byron Buxton back from the IL and picked up where he left off, 3-for-6 with a home run, two RBI, one run scored in his two games this weekend. Start him everywhere. Colton Wong, 4-for-11, two runs, three RBI. In his three games, started two of the three, batted leadoff both, and hit his fourth home run on Sunday. So Colton Wong, he's been somebody in my roto leagues I've been very happy to have around, and I'm happy to have him back. And then almost welcome back to a handful of guys. We mentioned a few of them already, but I'll add in Kyle Tucker is expected to be activated this week. He's been dealing with a stomach flu. I read that he lost something like 10 pounds while dealing with this illness, so don't be surprised if, you know, he doesn't hit right away, because it's coming back from that kind of illness can really knock you out of things in the middle of the season. So that'll be something to keep in mind. I probably wouldn't start him this week, but, you know, let him get his legs under him. And let's take a look at the most added and most dropped hitters from the weekend. Most added, Jake Fraley's up to 29%. I added him in one of my 12-team roto leagues, and at the outfield, he's doing some really nice things, getting on base, running. Max Stassi, Bobby Bradley from Cleveland, Ahmed Rosario, Joey Votto back from injury, Jesus Sanchez, Marlins prospect, homered for the first time in his career last week. Then Adam Duvall, as we talked about earlier, and Jonathan India. Which one of these guys stands out to you as someone who needs to be rostered in more leagues?
India. India is my favorite of this group. He's been everything. Like, he's one of those guys where you wonder how much you should really count April, because it was just such a bad environment for hitting. And since he missed some, he was out a few games at the beginning of May. I don't know if he was just, you know, they were benching him because he wasn't performing well. But basically, he got back in the lineup and stayed from May 13 on. And his numbers during that stretch are, you know, batting almost 300, OBP over 400, I think five home runs and five steals or something like that, and moved to the leadoff spot because of that. So, you know, the on-base skills were really the main thing he showed in the minors. Above everything else, he was thought to have more upside with the bat, but that wasn't in question. So now that we're seeing him do that, and with enough power and speed, I think for it to amount to something, and he's dual eligible. Yeah, I think Jonathan India, regardless of the format, is looking pretty interesting again.
Yeah, just to specify, it was the start of a series at Coors Field on May 13th. He had a 616 OPS in his first 26 games. Since then, he's hitting 300 with an 898 OPS, a 25 homer, 20 steal, 150 game pace since then. So Jonathan India, 59% rostered, worth adding in all formats. I think Ahmed Rosario at 53% is probably a little low. You know, I guess he could be rostered in all roto formats, but I think, you know, if he's out there in a roto league, I think he's probably someone who, you know, deserves to be rostered more. And I think Jake Fraley is really interesting. His minor league numbers are, I don't know if you guys talked about him much last week. I only listened to one episode. I'm going to be honest. I didn't listen to all.
That's one more than I would have.
But You know, he has an OPS over 900 between AA and AAA. You know, only about 106 games between the two levels, but 24 stolen bases, 21 home runs for Jake Fraley in 106 games between AA and AAA. And so far in the majors, he's hitting 250, but he's walking a ton, 22 walks, 21 strikeouts, and 87 plate appearances. Four homers, five steals. You know, in any OBP league, I think he's probably a must roster outfielder in Roto. And, you know, I picked him up in a 12 team, five outfielder league where outfield's been a disaster for me. So,
yeah,
just hoping he can keep hitting well.
Yeah, hopefully. I haven't let Votto go unrostered either in any of my leagues, regardless of depth. Cause the thing is, like, he may not help much in batting average, but he'll walk. Yeah. And it looks like he's a power source again. So even in points,
the expected stats look really good for him still.
Yeah.
All right. Most dropped players: Nick Solak, Merrill Kelly on the IL with a fractured wrist, Jerickson Profar, Yermín Mercedes, Garrett Hampson, Pavin Smith, Josh Fuentes, and Willie Calhoun. Any of those guys you think you would want to give a second thought to dropping? I don't really think so.
Well, I mean, Nick Solak, if it's a big enough league, I think Nick Solak has been among the most dropped, but only dropped down to like 70% rostership or something like that. So I totally understand why all of these players are on this list. They've all lost value over the past 2 to 4 weeks. Yeah, I mean, I think Pavin Smith is going to bounce back with numbers like we were seeing a couple weeks ago, but that's not... You know, even at his best, he's not especially high impact.
All right, let's look at some of the most added and most dropped pitchers. Ross Stripling up to 41% for a two-start week. Vladimir Gutierrez up to 51%. I would guess that's going to drop after he had a poor start Sunday. Sammy Long, Ryan Yarbrough at 75%. Jake Odorizzi at 46%. James Caprillion, 71%. Logan Gilbert at 69%. And Patrick Sandoval. I think the standouts on that list, and you can tell me if you disagree, but I think Caprillion at 71, Logan Gilbert at 69, and Patrick Sandoval at 20%. I think all of those guys could be higher.
Yeah, I agree. What's interesting about Sandoval is he had 11 strikeouts Sunday, right?
I think it was nine strikeouts. It was almost his second double-digit start in his last three. He had nine Sunday, I think.
Nine Sunday? Okay, and he had... Okay. But he hasn't. So the strikeouts have been there for him for the most part. Was it a ninth strikeout game? I can't find the number now.
It was.
But the swinging strikes since that 32 swinging strike effort really haven't.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not sure what to make of that. But being only 20% rostered, I mean, that's somebody you could take a flyer on just about anywhere. And the changeup does look like a special pitch for him. If that's all he has. Yeah, Gilbert and Caprillion, they're the most rostered here. Well, Yarbrough, I guess, is up there too. I'd rather have Caprillion and Gilbert for the upside than Yarbrough.
Yeah, Caprillion especially, 42 strikeouts, 17 walks in 38 innings so far this season with 2.84 ERA. That's pretty good. And the most dropped, unless there was something you wanted to add.
Well, Sam Long, I'm not exactly anxious to pick him up.
He had six strikeouts, two runs allowed against the Phillies today.
Yeah. The outings have been short for the most part, but they've been getting longer.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's hard to know what to make of his minor league track record because he was awesome in the little bit he pitched to AAA this year. 2019, he was at low A. So yeah. Really no idea how to assess Sam Long other than...
But it's the Giants. Great place to pitch, and they've done a really good job of getting the most out of guys recently.
So in a 22 and two-thirds innings at AAA this year, 199 ERA, 0.79 whip, 14.7 strikeouts per nine. But yeah, it was just... There's not really anything to see in the minor league track record beyond that because it was so far down.
All right, the most dropped pitchers. Let me know if there's anyone here who you think deserves a second shot. Martin Perez, Chris Bubich, Ryan Weathers, Jackson Coher, Michael Pineda, Jesus Luzardo, Tucker Davidson, and Tyler Glasnow. Obviously, Glasnow with the injury and Luzardo pitching poorly out of the bullpen for the A's right now. I did actually drop him in a 12-team roto league, and
I did too. 12-team points league.
I didn't want to. I wish I didn't have to, but
his ERA is almost at 7 now.
Yep.
See, he's the way he's pitching in relief. I don't know why they'd move him back to the rotation.
Yeah, he's given up, I believe, 5 home runs in like 2 innings or something since moving to the bullpen. It's a wild number. So yeah, it's been really bad.
Michael Pineda, if you were able to stash him in the IL spot, I wouldn't want to drop him.
Yeah.
Tucker Davidson, it makes sense that he's on this list because he probably got picked up in too many leagues just because he was in line for 2 starts last week. Mm-hmm. But he's not expected to be out for long. And, so if you play in like a 15-team league, maybe don't be so quick to drop him.
All right, let's talk about some pitchers who struggled over the weekend and whether there's anything to be concerned about there. Corbin Burns, it wasn't as bad as the previous start, but his 2 worst starts of the season coming back-to-back with a drop in his spin rate, 5.1 innings at Colorado. So, you're grading on a curve. 8 hits, 4 earned runs, 2 walks, 6 strikeouts. Not a terrible start by any means for Corbin Burns, but certainly not the elite pitcher that we were getting earlier in the season. What's your level of concern with Corbin Burns here?
Probably like a 4. It's not nothing. Spin on the cutter was only down about 50 RPM this time, which isn't that bad. Kind of normal start-to-start variance. So not as bad as the last time. But the velocity was down 1.2 miles per hour. And the walks have been up lately, which has been an issue for him in the past. And might be related to, it's not all about spin with the sticky substances. Yeah. The reason why batters were willing to let pitchers get away with it for so long is because they didn't want to get hit by pitches. Yeah. So, it's not nothing what the warning signs for Burns, but I'll still trust him to be a really good pitcher rest of season.
Lance Lynn gave up 5 earned runs in 4 innings on 8 hits against Houston on Sunday. He did strike out 6, walked 1. This is a really tough Astros lineup, even with Alex Bregman out. He did have some spin rate noteworthy drops, 194 RPM on average with his 4-seam fastball, 113, 134 on the cutter and sinker, so not quite as extreme there. I would say anything above like the 100 areas where it's noteworthy, anything around 200, I think is, at least statistically important, if not, meaningful moving forward necessarily. Any concern there? For me, the thought is just because he's so reliant on his fastballs and he doesn't have, this deep bag of tricks that he can pull from, he does seem to rely, he might be someone who relies more on minor differences making a big difference, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that's a good thought. That's part of the reason why I was worried about him at the start of the season. This is the first start where things have gone sideways for him. And it was against the Astros.
His ERA is above 2 for the first time.
Yeah. So we'll see how the next start goes. But in and of itself, this doesn't worry me too much.
Got to be worried about Aaron Nola at this point, right? I feel like we were probably worried about him a decent amount before. But 2 1/3 innings, 6 hits, 6 earned runs, 3 walks, 1 strikeout today. What are your thoughts on Aaron Nola at this point?
I don't know. That's because I don't see any major warning signs. Do you?
Beyond the fact that he's getting hit really hard.
Yeah. Well, beyond that,
my mind in this start is, but this was the only one really.
Right. Yeah. He's a much better walk rate. Well, this is his best walk rate ever, except for the 13 start rookie season. When that's happening, I wonder if there's a pitch tipping situation going on, but I'm sure he would be the first to look into that. He was brilliant last time out. It seemed like he was getting back on track. So I don't know. He's a head scratcher. I've kind of just been sticking with him where I have him, and That's probably still what I'm going to do, but it's annoying.
Yeah, I think when you look at the numbers, it's the four-seam fastball has just been getting crushed. He's got a 395 xWOBA allowed with it. It was 300 last season, and he's throwing it more. 39% so far this season. It was 25% last season. So, you know, it could be something as simple as he hasn't had the feel for the changeup, which is, you know, his usage for that is down 5% for percentage points from last season. That's worth noting, but I agree. It's like a less extreme version of what Luis Castillo was going through earlier in the season. He's starting to pull it around. So, you know, when there's not like a glaring sign, it you tend to default to your priors a little more. Robbie Ray, not a great start today. 4 1/3, 6 hits, 2 earned runs, 5 strikeouts, 2 walks. He still has 37 strikeouts to 7 walks and 22 2/3 innings pitched in June. Any concern about this start or just a random tough start?
I think just a random tough start. I think it was, when was that, Saturday? Saturday.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
What about Alex Wood? He struggled in his most recent, only won 3 innings. Things have not been as good for him over his last 5 starts.
His ERA has
ballooned from 193 to 409. He has a 788 ERA over the last 5. Are you dropping Alex Wood at this point?
Maybe in like a 10-teamer. Mm-hmm. You know, it's in points leagues, which are generally the smaller rosters. Leagues.
He's RP eligible.
RP eligible, right. Yeah. And he still has an awesome ground ball rate. It's still one of the best ground ball rates, and it's like 55%. So his xFIP has jumped. It's up around 4, I think. I think it's a little over 4 during this, while this has been going on, so it doesn't like him that much anymore. And his strikeout rate, I think he's at less than 1 per inning now. He's been getting roughed up legitimately here recently. Mm-hmm. But because that ground ball rate is so high, and because honestly his track record is really good, apart from,
I mean, when he's healthy, yeah.
Yeah. So I'd be inclined to stick with him if possible.
What about Alek Manoah? 3 1/3 innings, 5 earned runs, 4 hits, 1 walk. 4 home runs allowed. He's now allowed 7 in 23 2/3 innings overall with 27 strikeouts. He's got a 4.18 ERA. He's basically only had 2 starts with the homer problem, though. He gave up 3 against the Marlins in his second start and 4 against the Orioles in his most recent one on Saturday.
And the Orioles had a weekend.
Yes, they did. Cedric Mullins in particular, but also Ryan Mountcastle and
Mountcastle had a 3-homer game. Cedric Mullins back-to-back 2-homer games. Man, how legit is he looking?
Yeah.
And yeah, Mancini with the 2-homer game. But by the way, Alex Wood's xFIP is only 3.69, so not that bad. Okay. The xERA is well over 4 at this point. Okay. But anyway, back to Manoah. The fly ball rate is above 50%. That's really high, and he had high fly ball rates in the minors as well. So that's going to be a concern. He hasn't missed as many bats as I thought he was going to.
Yeah.
So that combined with the fly balls.
Yeah, it's a 12% swing strike rate right now.
Yeah, I'm starting to get an icky feeling here. I'm not saying I'm dumping him, but
all right. Well, rank him with these 4 other pitchers who struggled this week in Taiwan. Walker, Nathan Eovaldi, Zach Eflin, Domingo Ramon. Where would Alek Manoah rank, and how would you rank that 5?
I think Manoah would be at the bottom for me.
Wow, below Domingo Ramon. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ramon's got a 7.11 ERA in June.
Well, 2 starts ago, his ERA was 3.12.
Yeah.
It's over a couple now. Yeah, a couple rough ones. Only one in which he gave up home runs, this most recent one Saturday. He didn't give up any home runs in that first one. So, you know, basically every bad start he's had this year but one was home run related. But, you know, he was probably overachieving with the 3.12 ERA. He does have a 4.40 xFIP on the year. It's close between those two. I would say they're definitely 4 and 5. Ranking the rest, I'd go Walker 1, Eovaldi 2, Eflin 3, Herman 4, Manoah 5.
All right, let's look at some of the other performances from over the weekend. Trevor Bauer had a little bit of a blip in his previous start, but he was very good against the Diamondbacks on Friday. One earned run in 7 innings, 8 strikeouts, 3 walks. I'm kind of thinking we might get a version of Trevor Bauer where the control is not as good as we've seen in the last couple of seasons, but he's still pretty good.
I think he goes from being a top 5 pitcher to a top 10 pitcher.
Yeah.
He only had, like, the swinging strikes have gone down. His yeah. stuff has been not as good as his spin rate has plummeted. I mean, it's been the biggest drop of spin rate for anybody, right? Like over 350.
Yeah, I mean, he had RPM. The biggest rise of anyone over the last 2 seasons. So
yeah. So that makes sense.
Parabolic curve or whatever.
Yeah.
Did I use that correctly? I'm not very smart.
I don't know. I didn't follow you. I was thinking about what I was going to say next. Sorry.
That makes sense.
Now I forgot what I was going to say next.
All right, we'll just move on then. Carlos Rodon, another amazing start. I believe he had a no-hit bid going into the sixth in this one. Ultimately ended up giving 3 hits, 1 earned run to the Astros. Very tough matchup. On the other side, this probably might have been the pitching matchup of the weekend. Luis Garcia, 7 innings pitched, 8 strikeouts, 2 walks. White Sox lineup isn't particularly great right now. They're in a bit of a skid, but he's looking pretty good right now. And one question I did want to ask you for a couple other good pitchers on Friday, Chris Paddock or Yusei Kikuchi rest of season, where would you go? Paddock had 11 strikeouts in 5 innings, 26 strikeouts, 2 walks in 17 innings in 3 June starts. Yusei Kikuchi has just been, he's pitched like an ace for like almost 2 months now. In his last nine starts, 2.53 ERA, 61 strikeouts and 57 innings over his last 9.
Well, this is an absurd choice you're presenting to me because nobody should have to choose between these two. They're both must roster in my mind. But I would go Kikuchi over Paddock. Paddock, though, while everybody's spin rates are falling, his are holding steady. And remember, he needed to pick up spin at the start of the season. He has. And that's been going on for a while now. And you know, turned in the big strikeout total finally over the weekend on Friday. 19 whiffs. He looks good again. Paddock looks good.
He does. Walker Buehler looked excellent on Saturday. Had a no-hitter into the 8th against the Diamondbacks. 11 strikeouts, 7 1/3 innings in that one. I want to check out the spin rates. They were down. He was another guy who had a spin rate increase this season. But his velocity was up, and so, you know, it seemed like he was kind of making a conscious choice, trading some. He was throwing like 1.5 miles lower this season, but with a higher spin rate. So, you know, if he can get the fastball velocity back up in the 96.5 mile per hour range, I think you probably don't lose much there. Pablo Lopez was excellent again. Framber Valdez was excellent again. We talked about Patrick Sandoval. What about Chris Bassitt? Where would you rank him among the Paddock and Kikuchi? Is he a must roster pitcher still?
Yeah, he is. Yeah. Yep. I moved him
3.97 ERA in June, 3.93 in April, 2.52 in May.
There you go.
Interesting. Interesting up and down there. I think he's probably closer to the June and April number, but he's proven us wrong for 2 years running now.
Yeah, I have him 42 in my starting pitcher rankings at last update.
Makes sense.
That was almost a week ago, so it's a little outdated, but yeah, I would say Bassett's must roster. He's really proved me wrong. And I mean, the strikeouts have been a lot better this year than they were last year. So good for him.
Luis Castillo on Sunday, 6 innings pitched, 7 strikeouts, 2 earned runs. He's got a 2.19 ERA, 26 strikeouts in 24 2/3 innings pitched in 4 June starts. Are we good with Luis Castillo? We're trusting him moving forward. Chris was right. Can you say sure. Chris was right?
Chris was right, sure. Yeah. Yes.
I finally said it. It's been 10 years. Hyunjin Ryu versus the Orioles, 7 innings, 1 earned run. Kenta Maeda, he's got 11 strikeouts and 4 walks, 3 earned runs in 9 1/3 since coming back from the IL. 5 1/3 innings, 4 strikeouts. Where are you on Maeda right now?
Scott was wrong about Kenta Maeda. This is the player I feel worst about, actually.
Okay. You gave up on him?
No, for liking him.
Oh, okay.
For having him as a top 12 pitcher coming into the year. I'm not saying he's useless now, but he's not that useful either. He's had one 6-inning start in, I think, in 11 starts he's made this year, and only gone 6 innings once. And it's not like it's not like they've been the most reliable 5 1/3 innings either. He's been decent since coming back from the IL, but just not that big of a deal.
Do you like him or Lance McCullers more? McCullers had 4 walks, 4 strikeouts, 2 earned runs allowed in 6 innings.
I would say McCullers.
Interesting. McCullers has a 2.90 ERA, but a 4.09 FIP. And he has historically been a pitcher who has underperformed his FIP. So that's interesting. He's a little different now because he does have a deeper arsenal than he did early on in his career.
Underperformed his FIP, like his FIP would say one thing and he'd be even...
He would be better. Like than, yeah, he would be like a 3.65. I think his career ERA is 3.65-ish and his career FIP is like 3.3.
Yeah, the walk rate's really high. That seems to be impacting the ground ball rate is still awesome. The strikeout rate is about what it's always been.
Which is good, but not great anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like him more than Maeda, right, to go back to your original question.
Do you like Denelson LeMet or Casey Mize rest of season?
That's a good question because, you know, Mize's innings are going to start to slip.
He's had homer issues in June too. Six allowed in 4 June starts.
But I will say over his past 7 starts, he has a 12.2 swinging strike rate. That's
much better.
That's decent. Yeah, I mean, much better. His ERA during that stretch, I didn't include today's game minute, but I would guess it was below 3 before today's game. Moved up a little. I would say I think I would still lean Mize, though LeMet certainly has more upside. You're just you're trusting that they're going to keep upping his pitch count from start to start.
Feels like an oversight here that we didn't mention Shane McClanahan until the 57 minute mark. 8 strikeouts, 6 innings, 3 hits allowed, 1 earned run. This is kind of the start we wanted to see from Shane McClanahan, right?
So 2 in a row, more than 80 pitches. They continue to build him up.
Today.
This was his first 6-inning start. If he qualified, he would be behind only Jacob DeGrom in swinging strike rate. So
he's got ridiculous stuff.
So yeah, I mean, if they're going to make him a more traditional starting pitcher, they kind of need him to be with Glasnow down, then it could be really exciting. He's less than 60% rostered.
All right, who do you have the most interest in out of this group of lower-end starting pitchers? Caleb Smith, who had 6 shutout innings against the Dodgers. Alex Cobb gave up 1 run in 5 2/3. Colby Allard, 2 earned runs in 6 innings against the Twins. John Lester, 2 earned runs in 6 innings against the Mets. And JT Brubaker, who struck out 9 in 6 innings against Cleveland this weekend. Who would be your favorite out of that group of 5?
Well, probably Montgomery, but I suspect he's also the most rostered by far.
Jordan Montgomery. Yeah, I didn't mention him in this. Yeah, but 1 earned run, 5 1/3, but that's fine.
Okay, I saw him in the notes. Sorry.
Yep. Thinking about what you're going to say.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, it'd probably be the second most rostered Brubaker. I know he's been kind of shaky, but still a lot of ground balls. Occasionally he pulls out a good strikeout game like this. I think he's going to be useful off and on all season long. I did pick up Caleb Smith in a 15-team league.
Same.
I did put in a bid for Colby Allard in a 15-team league. He is a better swinging striker than ever. The velocity's been decent. Not saying he's going to be a huge bat misser or anything. The season numbers are good. Yeah, I mean, Cobb had a big swinging strike start with a lot of splitters against the Tigers, but, you know, The previous 2 starts were bad. What's interesting?
I think he's like on the verge. I think Alex Cobb's gonna be good moving forward.
He might be because huge drop in spin rate on the splitter, which is a good thing for the splitter. And, you know, that's his primary pitch. Basically, it came through for him in a big game this weekend, obviously. But I've noticed that with Frankie Montas too. The spin rate on his splitter's been collapsing, and his production has been moving up too. And I just wonder. Were they using substances and it was messing up their best pitch?
I have no idea.
Doesn't that seem like a possibility? Like
maybe
it was having a negative impact on their best pitch. Maybe because it's been dropping. It's been dropping like 200 RPM for both.
That's what you would want from. Yeah, you would want a splitter because you want that splitter to dive off the table. And so when you have less backspin because you're throwing it like a fastball, you want less backspin. Talk about a handful of the big hitters from the weekend. We talked about Cedric Mullins earlier, 5 for 13, 4 home runs over the weekend. He's got 13 homers and 12 steals. He's on like a, what is that, a 30, like a 25-25 pace while hitting 319. That's pretty good. Adam Duvall, we also talked about. Ryan Mountcastle had a 3-home run game on Saturday, 8 home runs in 17 games over his last 17 games. Francisco Lindor, he's hitting 275. His pace in the month of June for 150-game season, 32 homers, 8 steals, 79 RBI, 111 runs. He's pretty much been Francisco Lindor since the start of June. I think he'll continue to be Francisco Lindor. Gary Sanchez, 3 for 7 this weekend, 2 doubles, a home run, 3 RBI. He's hitting 315 with 5 home runs and 12 RBI in June. Is he back to being a top 12 catcher?
Yeah, I would say so. It's not hard to break into that group.
Back to being a top 6 catcher.
It's
not hard to break into that group either.
I mean, he might be number 6 now that Carson Kelly is hurt, and Carson Kelly wasn't playing that well anyway. Yeah, I might have Sanchez number 6 now, yeah.
What about Harold Ramirez? 3 for 8 with 3 home runs. He's hitting 273 with a 492 slug in 41 games for Cleveland. Is he someone who needs to be in more rosters? Looking up the roster percentage now, I think it's like 37%.
I don't think so. He hasn't been playing super consistently, and 9%. He hits the ball on the ground a lot, and this year is no exception. So one big weekend isn't really enough to win me over.
Willy Adames continues to hit really well with the Brewers. He went 6 for 17 with 4 runs, 4 RBI in a 4-game series at Colorado. 280, 18 RBI, 14 runs in 28 games with Milwaukee. Luis Urias has been really good since becoming more of an everyday player at third base for the Brewers. 7 for 15, 5 runs, 4 RBI in that weekend series at Colorado. 274 with an OPS over 900 in the month of June. Really good plate discipline numbers for Luis Urias, and he's playing pretty much every day. He was batting leadoff, but with Colton Wong back, I think he was back to 5th or 6th in the lineup on Sunday. But Luis Urias, post-type sleeper, he's looking okay. I'm starting him in utility in a 12-team Roto League.
It's been one of your favorites.
All right, and Mike Yastrzemski was a big disappointment early on, but he's got 3 home runs, 11 RBI in 10 games since coming back from the IL. He's 10 for 36 in that stretch. And Akil Badu, he had a 3-game series against the Angels where he went 4 for 9 with 3 walks, no strikeouts. In the month of June, he's hitting 351 with 6 walks, 6 strikeouts in 43 plate appearances with 3 stolen bases. He's back down to 25% rostered, but the improved swinging strike or improved plate discipline is making me kind of interested in Akil Badu again. He's not playing quite every day, but he's not like a part-time player either, if that makes sense.
Like 2 out of 3, it looks like he's been starting recently. I mean, keep an eye. Like, he's shown, another guy, because he was a Rule 5 pick and because there was no minor league season last year, we're looking at lower minor league numbers. But he showed good plate discipline down there. So, and he showed good plate discipline this spring.
Good athleticism, good raw power. There's skills there for sure. All right, and then some noteworthy bullpen things. Taylor Rogers got his 7th save on Saturday. Hansel Robles got the save on Sunday. Kendall Graveman blew his first save on Saturday. Still has a 1.31 ERA. Tyler Chatwood got a save on Sunday, but Jordan Romano had worked 2 innings on Saturday. Brad Boxberger got his 3rd save Sunday. Hader had worked the previous 2 games. Jake McGee got his 14th save. Lou Trevino got his 12th. It's increasingly looking like that's his job. Greg Holland got his 4th save for the Royals. They don't have a closer. Who do you think is most likely to get the next one between it's him and Josh Stomont? And actually, that was Holland's first in a while.
Yeah, I mean, my guess would be Holland, but it's not with a lot of conviction. It concerned me that Josh Stomont had worked once in the previous 5 days, and they turned to Holland for the save. So,
that's fair.
Not looking good for Stomont.
All right, let's talk about some streamers for Monday. I'll give you 6 options, and you tell me if three of them are good enough to stream. Jake Odorizzi at Baltimore, Adbert Alzolay coming back from the IL against Cleveland, Jay Happ versus the Reds, Brett Anderson at Arizona, Merrill Kelly, and Keegan Aiken versus Houston. You like any of those guys? I know you like Adbert Alzolay. Do you like any of the other ones?
Not really. If you're forcing me to pick a couple, Odorizzi.
Yeah, Odorizzi.
And maybe Brett. I don't remember what Brett Anderson's been doing recently, but you know, he's pretty Arizona. Good at keeping runs off the board, and it's Arizona. Yeah.
What about Tuesday? Bailey Ober versus Cincinnati. Johan Oviedo versus Detroit. Ross Stripling at Miami. Cole Irvin at Texas. Andrew Heaney versus the Giants. And Chris Flexen versus the Rockies. Any of those guys in Seattle. I think Brett Flexen Anderson against.
Awesome last time. Okay, sorry. Okay. Look at Tuesday now. Yeah, I would say Andrew Heaney's always so boom or bust. But maybe he'll give you the positive side of that. Chris Flexen going against the Rockies outside of Coors Field. That's not so bad. Ross Stripling's probably the best choice here. Sorry. Yeah. At Miami, coming off a great start. I don't hate Cole Irvin at Texas either. I think those four are pretty decent. Stripling, Flexen, Irvin, Heaney. None of them must start, but they're all interesting enough.
All right. That's going to do it for Monday's episode of the Fantasy Baseball Today podcast. I'm Chris Towers. That's Scott White. Frank will hopefully be feeling better on Monday, and he'll, you know, bail me out from having to host again because I'm exhausted. I'm sweaty. I'm really want to go to sleep now. So please, Frank, come back. We'll see you guys tomorrow. Bye.
Should you ever set foot outside of the hotel, you will be shot.
Don't miss the new Showtime limited series based on the international bestseller.
For the last 4 years, I've been a prisoner.
Why are they keeping you here?
Starring Emmy Award winner Ewan McGregor.
This is the brave new world that you dreamt of.
Be very careful. You are still a prisoner here.
Everything in this new world comes at cost.
This is still my country.
A Gentleman in Moscow. Now streaming on Paramount+. Only with the Paramount Plus with Showtime plan.